Wisconsin. I'm Maggie Dawn. He's Brian Kelly. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Happy Juneteenth. Small point of fact. Guess where in the United States slavery is still legal? It's not a trick question.
In the prison system?
Yes. You can still be forced into labor in some state prison systems. That's not to mention what it must be like in many state prisons in the South. No air conditioning, no windows, no moving air. And it's 100 plus degrees for days and days and days. It's 102 degrees in Maine, for crying out loud.
On top of that, they're overpopulated and understaffed, which means, guess what? They're on lockdown more often than they're not, which means they're in their cell being hot, getting angry, and kind of being tortured.
Well, and it's not even the being hot, because I can imagine a bunch of people screaming at their radio saying, well, they did something wrong. They can be uncomfortable. This isn't uncomfortable. This is, it could kill you. It's so hot that your heart's going to stop if you have any kind of medical conditions. And oh, by the way, there are two groups of people in this country, only two, that are guaranteed medical care by our governments. Those are folks that are incarcerated, human beings that are incarcerated, and our military. Guests who were not so great at all at providing any reasonable level of medical care to?
Both.
One could argue it's both, but I assure you that the far worse medical care, the worst place that you would ever want to be if you have a serious medical condition, is in any sort of incarceration setting in the United States. It is worse abroad. I'm talking about in the United States. But I have a question for the listening audience, and it is this. The New York Times, an article that just came out today at about 1:30, says that Congress is weighing proposals to update mandatory conscription, including by expanding it to women for the first time and automatically registering those eligible to be called up. Yeah.
I would argue that the first time people really started saying F you to the government was during the last forced draft upon the, I get, for a war that most people would say, maybe we were, but at least we recognize their sacrifice for the reasons of.
Yes. So my question to everybody out there, let me be clear at the outset. This is not a reinstatement of the draft. Okay, it would be an expansion in two different ways of what is basically the mandatory selective service registration, right? Currently, that only happens to men between the ages of 18 and 25. It is the list of people who could be subject to mandatory military service through a draft if we needed to do that. Now, why is this happening now? Two reasons. Military recruitment is way down. The only two branches of the military that hit their recruiting goals in 2023 were the Marines and Space Force. Yep, I said it, Space Force.
Space Force!
And at this point in time, only 1% of all Americans have ever had any kind of military service. So what you've got is this massive recruitment problem. We've got an upcoming demographic problem, just fewer people being born. And guess what we just talked about last hour? This increasing return to Cold War era threat levels. This Cold War era axis of evil amongst Iran, China, South Korea, and Russia, active, potentially explosive conflicts in two areas of the world, being Gaza, the Middle East, of course, and Ukraine. So our overall threat level, right, the overall specter of potential actual ground troop military engagement is probably higher now than it has been in the last 25 years. And at the same time, we're basically having a problem in this country fielding enough bodies to have a standing army. That's why they're having this discussion. So again, this is not, we're going to return to the draft. It is a change to the basically the mandated selective service registration, which is the comprehensive list of people in the age range of 18 to 25 who could be mandatorily drafted into military service if our nation went to war. They're considering expanding that in two ways. One, to include women. Two, so that the registration is automatic. What do you all think about this? Let's just run a hypothetical. I want to know what each one of you think. Should women be subject to the draft? Let's assume, and heaven forbid this, that at some point in the next 20 years, the United States is actually involved in some sort of personnel-dependent military engagement with Russia or North Korea or Iran, and that we need more troops. Do you think women should be subject to the draft? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Should women be subject to the draft? By the way, mandatory military service is part of what occurs in Israel. That includes women. It basically always has.
A buddy of mine who's a regular at the bar didn't show up for a year or two or so. And we were like, why are you here? He's like, well, I went back to Israel to go and, renew my citizenship. And it turns out I had to serve.
Yeah. Couldn't leave.
Wasn't allowed to leave. He called his dad, and his dad was like, yep, good luck with that.
The other proposal is to expand the maximum age for the application of the draft from 25 to 26. Currently, it sits at 18 to 25. So three things: mandatory registration for a potential draft, including women, and raising the age from 25 to 26. What do you think? Should women be subject to the draft? I want to hear from you. Mark from Prairie du Sac, you've been very patient. You're on the air. What do you have to say?
Yeah, thanks so much. Yeah, in conjunction with that, I mean, they should make it should be automatic registration to vote. So if we're expecting people to sign up to serve, we should also recognize their right as a citizen of the United States to participate in our electoral system. Getting back to what you were asking before the break, I mean, it is clear that this new thing is a threat to the United States. Donald Trump, from what I've been reading, Donald Trump was being groomed by the Russians as far back as the 1980s, and that hoping that they could use him to get into more involved into American politics.
You mean exactly what they are right now, Mark? I mean, if anything, Donald Trump has been the absolute perfect patsy, the perfect Manchurian candidate for exactly what Vladimir Putin has been planning to do to destabilize the United States for 25 years. Please continue.
Exactly. I mean, that, and what disturbs me even more is the formal cold warriors, such as Ron Johnson and company, who are so sympathetic, seems to me so sympathetic to the Russian Federation and to likely North Korea and to China and to, our adversaries, except for Iran. For some reason, I think what gets them there is those are Muslims.
Of course, underlying racism. Mm-hmm.
But as far as that goes, I mean, it just boggles my mind that these same people who, were Ronald Reagan's, accolades back in the day, and Russia was the evil empire, and now they are embracing it. And let's remember where Ron Johnson spent the 4th of July in 2018, the contacts between, Rand Paul.
Yes.
Running over with something there. And what happened to that briefing binder?
Yeah, from Helsinki, right? That's so what Mark is talking about, that in that Helsinki, and hey, Brian, if you've got the sound from Helsinki, we're going to listen to it again. Donald Trump met with Vladimir Putin. Anytime this happens, when two heads of state, including the American president, are meeting, someone is there taking notes. They're not necessarily made public, but someone there takes notes about what is said, generally from each country. That that set of notes from the Donald Trump-Putin meeting back in 2018, yeah, that disappeared. Weird. Because
I believe they dismissed her.
Yeah, they sent her out of the meeting. And that meeting, Donald Trump walks out of, and this is what he has to say.
So I have great confidence in my intelligence people, but I will tell you that President Putin was extremely strong and powerful in his denial today.
His denial of interference in the U.S. elections, of the dissemination of misinformation. Yeah, what? And by the way, Ron Johnson, yeah, he voted against the Ukraine funding package. Ron Johnson is a Vladimir Putin lackey. So Gary from Sussex, I hope you're still listening. If you believe that Vladimir Putin poses a threat to the United States, I guess that means you're going to be voting for Tammy Baldwin. I guess that means you won't ever be supporting Ron Johnson for re-election. Thank you very much. I guess it means you'll be voting for Joe Biden, because that's the only vote that is consistent with democratic values and trying to preserve the American way of life. I want to hear from you. Should we bring back the draft? Should women be subject to the draft? We may be facing that in the coming years, given all of these threats, which Donald Trump has only made more acute, more grave, and more omnipresent in our day-to-day lives. I'm Maggie Dawn. He's Brian Kelly. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Don't go anywhere. We'll be taking more texts and callers when we get back. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Should we bring back the draft? Should women be subject to the draft? Welcome back, Wisconsin. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Should we bring back the draft? That's what I want to know. Should women be subject to the draft? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. I'm asking this question because there are proposals in the House and the Senate that would not reinstate the draft, but make women subject to registration with the Selective Service, which is the federal agency that maintains the database of information about those Americans ages 18 to 25 that could be subject to military conscription. So it proposes to do that. It also proposes to make that registration mandatory. Like if you went to sign up for a driver's license, it would automatically trigger the registration. Great point by one of our callers last segment that should include, obviously, voter registration if you're going to go send somebody to be killed.
Yeah, you'd think.
Maybe they should be able to vote.
I grew up scared to death of going to a draft, mostly because as I grew up, was also a rash of huge Vietnam movies like Platoon and, you know, Born on the 4th of July and all the pretty much just history in general, just making me scared to death that I would be forced to be in a situation where I'd have to go somewhere and do all the things that that entails. Forrest Gump, my goodness.
I mean, John from Hubertus texting and saying, yeah, bring back the draft. Bring back the draft. When everyone realizes the cost of war, there will not be any more war. I don't know if that's actually true. I think, you know, they don't ask us common folk all the time if we should be going to war. They just sort of do it. But this is, you know, you think of the CCR song and, you know, the senator's son.
I ain't no senator's son, yeah. But I do know a senator's son that did pay the price.
Yes. Joe Biden's son, Beau.
Yep.
Meanwhile, heel spurs, Donald J. Trump, just a little toy soldier, went to military school but couldn't show up for Vietnam, dodged the draft himself. (855) 752-4842 Should we bring back the draft? I mean, we are facing increasingly acute existential threats. And we have fewer and fewer and fewer people joining the military. I just want to correct one small thing. I believe I said last segment that less than 1% of the American population has ever or is serving in the military. Incorrect. It's 1% of the population in active duty combat roles. Let's go to the phones. Jean from Eau Claire, what do you have to say?
Wow, great topic today. Well, I think before we institute a draft, we need to clean house of those who are not capable of running our country, including people they recently put on the Intelligence Committee of Scott Perry, I think, and Ronnie Jackson,
yep.
You know, who may have been involved, these guys, in the insurrection and no experience in this area whatsoever. We need to clean house of people who are on committees that don't know what the devil they're doing, you know, who delayed funding to Ukraine. We need to clean house of the senators who would not promote military personnel for those who were retiring,
yeah,
and held that up. So what we need to do is we need to clean house in that government that is putting us in danger before we institute a draft and waste the lives of our young people.
Well said, Jeannie. Hear, hear. She's talking about Senator Tommy Tuberville, the former college football coach, who was like, I just won't let any military promotions go forward for months and months and months and months. She's talking about Scott Terry and Ronnie Jackson, recent appointees of House Speaker Mike Johnson to the House Intelligence Committee. Those are particularly troubling, perhaps most troubling with respect to Scott Terry, because the guy's a Freedom Caucus member. He's a lunatic. And in case you missed this, there had been a loose detente on this one committee, on the House Intelligence Committee, that was forged by former House Speaker Kevin McCarthy and Democrats to depoliticize the House Intelligence Committee. In other words, he appointed people when Republicans took over the House that frankly weren't nutbags, knew something about foreign policy and intelligence, and frankly could be trusted with the nation's most sensitive secrets. Yeah, Mike Johnson, out the window with that. Bring on the Freedom Caucus. Yeah, well, why don't you just throw a little MTG on the House Intelligence Committee? She smacks of nuance and deep critical thinking about our nation's most pressing national security issues. What about a little Lauren Boebert, Matt Gaetz? You know, these people that really take their job seriously, their oath to protect and serve our country. They mean it. They meant it when they said it. Or not so much. I mean, what is going on here? Ross from Crawford County, should we bring back the draft? Should women be drafted?
Hey, Maggie and Brian. Yes, I do. I think so. So I spent time in the military, and what I got from it afterwards is this sense of, you sort of get this sense of where you're working alongside everyone else in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what's kind of missing, I'm like 60-some years old, and I'm just saying, I think what's missing is a sense of national spirit, a sense of patriotism. And I don't know exactly, I don't have a good definition of that, but I think that they're just, when I look at younger people or people who haven't served, there's just this, there's like there's something missing about what it means to be an American. I would say national service wouldn't, maybe 15 months, wouldn't have to necessarily be military. It could be, one could discuss about alternative national service, and then maybe incentives to get people to join the military component of it. That might be, you know, like 2 years. But I have thought that we should probably go back to a mandatory national service, and definitely women, definitely, right? You know, men, women shouldn't matter.
Thanks so much for the call, Ross. I appreciate you listening and your thoughtful comments. I'm going to tell you what I think after the bottom of this hour. Should there be a draft, and should women be subject to the draft? I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. You want to get your opinions in? I want to hear them. 855-75-CIVIC. 855-752-4842. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back in just a moment.
Such a nasty one.
Trust fund.
Trust a woman or a government.
Smiling faces sometimes pretend to be your friend. Smiling faces show no traces of the evil that lurks within. Smiling faces.
Welcome back, Wisconsin. Question of the hour, should we bring back the draft? If we do, should women be subject to the draft? There's a couple of bills in Congress that seem to be sort of moving in this way. And a little bipartisan support, though I should note, very, very slim chance of actually being adopted. A panel of military experts suggested to Congress in 2020 that including women in the draft would be, quote, in the national security interest of the United States, end quote. Since then, Congress has repeatedly considered proposals to make the change, but they have all been scrapped before becoming law. What do you think? Should we bring back the draft? Should women be subject to the draft? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. By the way, women since 2016 have been allowed to serve in every role in the military, including ground combat. And again, there's some bipartisan support for applying the draft to women. Senator Lisa Murkowski, Republican of Alaska, she put forward a similar proposal during her time in the Alaskan State House. Susan Collins of Maine supports the measure. But there's a, you know, few Republicans that are going to use it to attack Democrats as being a woke policy. Big, big surprise here. I love it. It's like, oh, women want to give their lives, or women senators. Oh, my gosh. Women senators supporting the policy, and leave it to a bunch of Republican men to be like, no, no, no. We know best. Sam Brown, a combat wounded Army captain, who is challenging Senator Jackie Rosen, Democrat of Nevada, in one of the most competitive races in the country, condemned Ms. Rosen for supporting the proposal. He called the move absurd and unacceptable. Our daughters will not be forced into a draft. Absurd? Oh, guess who else? Running to the first camera available, Mr. Fist in the Air to the January 6th insurrectionist, Senator Josh Cawley, who then ran like Sonic the Hedgehog away from those same insurrectionists a few hours later, scared for his life. Yes, Senator Josh Hawley, Republican of Missouri, called another, quote, woke decision being imposed on the nation's armed forces. No. Hey, Senator, and I think you went to Harvard. The guy's a lawyer. Ivy Leaguer, Silver Spoon guy, the senator's son, right? You, sir. This isn't being imposed. This is how things work. See, you propose a bill, it's debated, and then it becomes law if it passes and the president signs it. That's not some, you know, woke conspiracy. That's called democracy, you moron.
How is it woke?
Because it has anything to do with women and women's...
Because I don't like it, it's woke. All the things I don't like are woke.
Basically.
Is that it?
If you're a Republican and you don't like it, just call it woke. Cool.
See, I just thought it was just some phrase that people said, hey, that's cool and that's a nice thing, and then they blew it up to be...
Mr. Hawley said on Fox News, we need to get a reality back in check here. There shouldn't be women in the draft. They shouldn't be forced to serve if they don't want to. Okay. Now, on the other hand, Don Bacon, a Nebraska Republican who also served in the Air Force, characterized the proposed change as, quote, outstanding. But, of course, I was holding my breath to find out what Cardi B said about it because, you know, that's where I get all of my political opinions from. She posted this on social media. These new kids, you want to send these new kids to fight these wars? All I want to say to America is good luck with that. Miss Cardi B, who do you think is fighting the wars?
Who's going to do it? You? You, Lieutenant Weinberg?
Yeah. A lot of really, really thoughtful comments coming in on our text lines. If you would like to give your opinion, if we bring the draft back, should women be subject to the draft? 855-752-4842. Let me tell you what I think. I think that there should be a mandatory service requirement instituted as soon as possible. I don't necessarily mean military service. You can elect to do your 2 years of mandatory service between the ages of 18 and 25 in the military if you should so choose. Other options would include Teach for America, AmeriCorps, VISTA, any kind of meaningful public service, you know, like teaching in public schools, that kind of a thing. Doing this would start to get us back to what our last caller was talking about, who himself was a veteran or is a veteran. And that is that we're in this democratic enterprise together. That I will give of myself because it betters my community, it betters my state, it betters my country. This idea of sacrifice. Sacrifice for others. Footnote. To my conservative friends out there, do you think Donald Trump has ever sacrificed anything of himself purely to serve another person? And he calls himself, you know, an expert on the Bible.
He sacrificed his salary for you guys.
Yeah, but no, he didn't, because he didn't put his assets into a blind trust. I could go on. So I think mandatory service, which can include basically public service, service in government, public, you know, becoming a public school teacher, AmeriCorps, VISTA, which is basically like the Peace Corps, but it was within the United States. By the way, John F. Kennedy sort of stood up some of those programs back in the day. When it comes to women and a military draft, let me say these things. We should ask women what they think. Oh my goodness, what? Brian! We should ask women what they think about women being subject to the draft.
Yeah, and then take that into consideration and then make our own decision anyway as men.
Good call. Right.
Thank you. You forgot the second part.
Yes, I did. My bad. Yeah, ask women what they think. A lot of women what they think. Let's solve the problem of sexual assault, which is an epidemic in the military. Let's see more women in command ranks. Let's return a woman's right to control her body before we force her body into war, shall we? Let's pass the Equal Rights Amendment. Before we ask women to pay the ultimate price in service to their country. But at the end of the day, if the draft comes back, my fundamental opinion is yes, women should be subject to the draft. When I was a little girl, this won't surprise you one bit, Brian, and listeners out there, and then I'm going to go to the phones. If you're there, stay there, please. 855-757-4842. When I was a little girl, I remember this. There was a distinct, like, seared memory into my head. It was probably in, like, fourth or fifth grade, standing on the playground of St. Pius X grade school on 76th and Center in Wauwatosa, Wisconsin, arguing with three boys in my class about this very issue. And my
I'm laughing, but I'm sorry.
Yeah.
This is important.
My opinion then was what it is now. Absolutely, women should be subject to the draft. There's no rational explanation not to. I truly believe that in my heart of hearts. Wait. Because we can't stomach the idea of women dying in service to our country. They're already doing that. So what? What's the under... Why Senator Josh Hawley, who never... Well, no, I think Josh Hawley did serve. Will you check that for me, Brian? I don't want to misspeak.
Off the top of my head, I believe he did.
I believe he did serve. A reality check back here? Oh, wait, a reality back in check here? There shouldn't be women in the draft. They shouldn't be forced to serve if they don't want to. Sam Brown calling it absurd and unacceptable? How about this, Sam Brown? It's absurd and unacceptable to me that we yet again can't find our way to treat women on equal footing, both the burdens and the blessings of this country. We can't, what? Absurd? Don't offend me any more than you already have. It's just, it's repugnant to me. And frankly, I'll just say this. If there were more women in the military, there would be less sexual assault in the military. If there were more women in the military, there would be a less likelihood of abuse of prisoners of war. There were more women in the Catholic Church in leadership positions. There would have been less predatory sexual assault and pedophilia. When women are included and placed into positions of leadership, when we are treated on equal footing with men, better results occur. I don't care if you're talking about a church, a government, or a military. Full stop. Absurd? And again, maybe we should start by asking women, what do you think, ladies? And maybe listen to what women have to say. Cindy from Appleton, what do you have to say?
Well, I agree 100% with you, Maggie. If, which I don't believe in a draft, but if we were to initiate one, women must be drafted, but we need to start with the sons and daughters of those who vote to go to war.
Yep. Say that last part. I lost you just at the very end, Cindy. Can you say that last part one more time? I'm sorry.
Yeah, I said if we initiate a draft, then we need to recruit or draft the sons and daughters of the legislators who voted to go to war.
Yeah, start with those people. Hmm. John from Hubertus disagreeing with me, saying girls are genetically different. They should not be forced to kill other human beings. John from Hubertus, I have this to say to you. Please don't call me a girl ever again. Please don't do that. We're not talking about girls as much as we're talking about boys. These are adults. Genetically different? No. Socially conditioned to believe that women are weaker, weaker stomached, and that we can't kill another human being? Yeah, that may be.
I have the pleasure of interviewing a former instructor of the machine gun. And he said that he had to train people to kill other people. In fact, they designed the machine gun so that it would be nearly impossible to miss somebody, because during shooting practice and versus live targets as well, people in general would
hesitate. Don't want to kill other
people. Because people don't want to kill people, not just women.
And that's why there's military training. Chris from Appleton. But if women were drafted, then who would do all the women's work?
A tale as old as time.
Yes. If you're on the line, stay there. I'm Maggie Dawn. He's Brian Kelly. If we bring back the draft, should women be subject to the draft? They're talking about it in Congress. What do you think? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. We'll be back in just a moment. Don't go anywhere here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Johnson's solutions for that. Just a couple minutes. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. But the topic we got to close out before the end of the show today is, if the draft comes back, should women be subject to the draft? I want to thank Steve J on Facebook for hitting us up. Air Force veteran, served 23 years. Thank you for your service. I want to thank Tony Zimmerman of Civic Media, also for listening and commenting. I want to thank a new texter from 262 with the 299 for sharing your opinions. Jim from Appleton, Steve from WRCE. I really appreciate everybody's input to this really important topic. By the way, Senator Josh Hawley, not a whit of military service. I'll just say this. I found a lot of camaraderie with folks that were in ROTC at Marquette. I lived and hung out with a bunch of those people and a lot of women. One of my best friends was the second female navigator in the Marines for an F-18 fighter jet. I was a 3, sometimes 4 sport athlete in high school. I played collegiate rugby. I boxed for years. I'll tell you what my experience, I never served in the military, but I'll tell you what my experience has been with women in very tough physical sports and with the women in military service that I know personally. Women can hack it. Incredibly tough. Just like not every man is going to be a great infantryman. Just like every man is not going to be the best person in a combat situation. That's so too with women. The military's got plenty of jobs. That's what we do. We sort it out. We figure out what your particular skill set is. There's a military aptitude test. They funnel you into the particular job that suits your skill set. Not all of us would be combat. Meaning not all women would be the appropriate person for combat. But I'll tell you, a lot of men I know would be like, Maggie, I'll go to combat with you. Because you haven't quit anything that you have ever started, from a long distance running race to a boxing match to a rugby match. If you're breathing, you're moving. I'd go to combat with you. Please don't paint women with a broad brush. It's unbecoming of an American to do so. Troy from Mount Horeb, thanks so much for your patience. What do you have to say?
I'm sorry, but I laughed out loud when that guy texted you, girl.
me too.
I couldn't believe it.
Thanks for that, Troy.
Real quick, I saw a story a long time ago that we didn't have the capacity or the training ability to train everybody from 18 to 24. Our military, I did a real quick Google search. So these are the numbers I have. In 2023, our military was 2.86 million people. In 2017, there were 30.6 million 18 to 24 year olds in this country. So that bears out that story. So unless we were in a big time active war, I don't think we could do a draft.
Yeah, I think that the mathematical points about population are well taken, Troy. Thanks so much for listening and calling. Please be safe on the roads. Just as a point of note, John from Hubertus texted in again and says, bet your birth certificate says girl. No, John, it says female. Just says female.
Or femily, if depending.
Female. Before we wrap up today, it's been real hot outside. I mentioned before, it's 102 degrees in Maine. The entire, basically, eastern seaboard are just under sweltering conditions.
If you see me outside, don't talk to me. I'm angry.
Yes. I go outside for 5 minutes. I'm angry. Angry, very angry. It's too freaking hot. We're having, you know, Texas has its own electrical grid, all kinds of problems there. This is all part of climate change. And just a small footnote. Today is day 12 of Joe Biden's top 100, and I didn't get to it because we're going to talk about clean energy. I'm going to combine it tomorrow. Don't you worry. We're going to hit day 12 and 13 tomorrow of Joe Biden's top 100. We're going to be talking a bit of clean energy. I'm going to have a special guest for you tomorrow. Don't worry. But the point is, if we don't start working on clean energy, weather cycles like this are going to get worse. It ain't even summer yet. The first day of summer is tomorrow, folks. Not to worry, though. Ron Johnson has some searing insights. This dates back to, let's see here, Brian. What are we talking about? April 27th, 2023, the Senate hearing on climate change. He's talking with an economist from the University of Chicago, Dr. Michael Greenstone. Let's take a listen to Ron Johnson's searing insights on climate change.
Your study is very favorable to my state. Our mortality declines by 54 per 100,000.
Wisconsin will benefit in terms of mortality. There are 49 other states in the United States. Many of them will suffer. Many of them will suffer more than Wisconsin will gain. And that is the nature of climate change. It's very unequal.
According to your study, you're concerned if you're in the really hot region of Africa, but in terms of the United States and most of Europe, we're in pretty good shape. We're all blue. We have reduced risk of death.
Yeah, so, you know, screw you, Africa. Screw you if you're on, you know, the eastern or western seaboard or anywhere in the south or basically any place but Michigan, Wisconsin, Minnesota.
But then he's going to be so mad when everybody tries to move here.
Oh,
like, he didn't even do step two in his own stupid thought.
Just disgusting. That's your United States senator, another rich guy who has no business having anything to do with government, who broke his promises again and again. I'll just do one term. Psh, liar. Hey, COVID, little mouthwash.
He made his hedge fund some sort of manufacturer, so that's amazing.
Cool. Please stay cool out there. Check on your friends and relatives. Be careful if you have a respiratory disorder. Because it's better when we care about each other, isn't it? And as I like to say, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But remember, it is always better when we stand together. That's it for me. I'll be back tomorrow. Keep listening for the Devil's Advocates Radio. They're up next here on the Civic Media Radio Network.